Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the nine-month 2017-18 analyst call of Carl Zeiss Meditec AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Sebastian Frericks, Director, Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thanks for joining our call today. My name is Sebastian Frericks, and I'm Director of Investor Relations. With me are our President and CEO, Ludwin Monz, our CFO, Kristian Müller, as well as our incoming new CFO, Justus Wehmer. I would like to hand over to our management now to give you a short introduction to our quarterly financials, and some prepared remarks. Afterwards, as usual, we are open to taking your questions.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ludwin Monz. I would also like to welcome you to Carl Zeiss Meditec's nine-month report on our in fiscal year 2017-18. Please turn to slide three, which shows what we are going to present today in this conference call. I will start, as always, with an overview about our nine-month results. My colleague, Kristian Müller, will present more details on the financials in the next section of the presentation. Afterwards, in the highlight section of the presentation, I will discuss our developments in the Americas. Furthermore, I will comment on the changes in the Meditec Executive Board. My new colleague on the board, Justus Wehmer, will introduce himself. Finally, I will talk about our outlook. Let's start with the overview on slide four. As we already published in our ad hoc release, Carl Zeiss Meditec had a strong third quarter of the fiscal year, and this was despite of significant negative currency effects. Revenue reached 926 million euros year to date, which is 7% above our prior year result. At constant currency, the growth rate was nearly 12%. We will discuss the growth contributors in the next section of our agenda. Overall, we are glad to report that both SBUs and all regions contributed to the growth. EBIT further increased despite of the one-off gain from the disposal of non-core assets in prior year and despite of negative currency effects in this year. Our EBIT margin improved year-over-year by about 100 basis points. Our net income reached 82 million euros. That corresponds to earnings per share of 0.92 euros. In prior year, we had 1.1 euro. The decrease was primarily caused by the one-time gain in the past year, by negative currency effects in this business year, and also by the higher number of shares outstanding. Overall, we are quite happy with the development. Now I would like to hand over to my colleague, Kristian, who will discuss the results more in detail and give you some more background. Kristian.
Good morning. Welcome also from my side here. More than happy to do that, give you, let's say, more details on our financials. As you already seen and heard from Ludwin now, after nine months, in summary, very solid and strong performance that we have achieved so far. Good momentum. The Q3 financials came in very strong. We've even seen some acceleration in our growth in Q3, so all in all, very positive. The currency situation is still hitting us, so we are still confronted with currency headwinds. The negative effects have slowed down somehow in Q3. All in all, 4.5% top line headwind from the currency overall, and around about 1% on our profitability on the EBIT margin. The good thing is the strong performance is not only coming from one business that is doing particularly good and compensates for the others. No. We see similar good developments in both SBUs, and I'm now going on slide six into the SBU, starting with ophthalmic devices, our largest SBU. Revenue for ophthalmic devices came in with 681 million euro. This is compared to prior year constant currency growth of nearly 11%, 10.7%, and reported 6.4%. Here, our diagnostic product portfolio, where, if you remember and as you all know, we've been struggling in the past due to the increased competitive pressure. We now see continued positive effects with significant growth rates now across all regions and especially also in the U.S. So very nice development here. The refractive laser business also continued its strong performance from the past. Especially here, the strong adaption of our SMILE technology is the key growth driver in that product category. And again, also in surgical ophthalmology, we see a positive trend here, mainly driven by our growth in intraocular lenses, where we see market share gains, continued market share gains, and good progress with both premium as well as standard intraocular lenses. On the profitability side, the EBIT margin improved compared to last year if we adjust for the one-off gains which we had last year from the sale of the non-core assets at our Ontario plant. So here we see an improvement. You should also be aware that this positive result was achieved in spite of some burden from the exchange rates. And we were, of course, also continuing our investments in R&D, innovation. Profitability margin, the EBIT margin, at around about 1% improvement for the first 9 months, corrected for the one-time gain here from the non-core asset divestment. Moving on, slide number 7 to microsurgery. The SBU microsurgery was also showing a very strong performance with revenues of 245 million euro. So this is a constant currency growth of 14%, 14.3% exactly, and on a reported base of 9%, so stronger currency headwinds that we see in microsurgery than in ophthalmic devices. In microsurgery, we see very good growth in the neuro ENT segment, but also in the office and dental area. Both cases, growth that is fueled by innovations. And as you might remember, last year we had two major new product launches, the Kinevo 900, our new robotic system, our visualization system in neurosurgery, and the Xtaro 300, the new surgical microscope for dentistry, and both launches are developing quite well. The EBIT margin in microsurgery on a high and clearly above 20% level, good and high EBIT margin there, but compared to previous year, a decline. And main reason here are the headwinds from the currency that we seen in especially in microsurgery, and some ramp-up costs related to the launch of the new product as well. So now on slide 8, a closer look at the regional development. As already mentioned, we see very encouraging growth rates, very encouraging growth dynamics across all three regions. And let me start with Americas. Americas, which represents 30% of our total global sales. The Americas region showed a growth of 12% on a constant currency basis, with only a slight increase on a reported basis of 2.5%. So here the US dollar changes have a significant impact on the reported growth rate, but not only the US dollar, also South America, especially the Brazilian real, which had tremendous currency fluctuations in the first 9 months. But the US, of course, is our largest single market and also the number one revenue contributor from a country perspective. And in the US, we see significant increase now, constant currency growth by 17%. And Ludwin will talk more in more detail about the situation in the US and the development in the US, measures we've taken there, and how this results now turns into growth. South America, I already mentioned the currency impact. Here we've seen a more moderate development, even a decline in Brazil. Not that we see the end customer business going down, but more cautiously managing working capital and focusing on efficiency in Brazil. So somehow less dynamic overall in South America based on the economical situation we see in these countries. EMEA, overall an increase reported of 8.6%, constant currency 10%. And here we see a very positive development in nearly all markets. All significant countries in Germany are growing. Very stable, very good growth that we see here. So we are well on track in Europe and recovering. So more dynamic that we currently see here. The only area where we see, let's say, a more moderate or even declines are some countries in the Middle East region, which is not really a surprise given all the uncertainties, mainly geopolitical uncertainties in that region. In the Asia-Pacific region, with 39% share, our largest region, and again, the Asia-Pacific region was the region with the highest growth rate, so a constant currency growth rate of 13%. Strong revenue growth that we've seen in China, but also, for example, South Korea, which is doing extraordinarily well. And also Japan is now recovering. We've now turned back to growth of, let's say, in the middle single-digit rates in Japan on a reported basis, and especially our microsurgery business unit here is stimulating growth in Japan. So moving on, let's have a look at the P&L line items on slide number 9. As you can see, we managed to maintain our gross margin with around about 55% at a more or less stable level. Here to consider, not to forget, this number is affected by negative currency effects, and they are digested in this stable number already. The OPEX in terms of absolute numbers, of course, increased due to the expansion of our sales and marketing activities in some areas and an increase in R&D activities. Overall, the ratio, the OPEX ratio, on a stable level, more a shift from sales and marketing towards higher investments in R&D in both of our strategic business units. The EBIT with 135 million euros, slightly above prior year, but significantly above if you consider the one-time effects from last year, the divestments which we made of these non-core assets. So the EBIT margin 14.6%. If we exclude the one-time effect of last year, it would have been 14.5% previous year, so a slight improvement here. And again, as I mentioned before, in this number, in this 14.6% negative currency headwinds digested of around about 100 basis points. The adjusted EBIT margin, which we report regularly, is summarized on page 10. When we adjust the EBIT for the extraordinary and one-off items, as I mentioned before, we are on a similar level as previous year. Mainly acquisition-related effects are to be considered here. So on the one hand side, the one-off gain from the sale of the Ontario assets prior year, and then rather small effects related to the purchase price allocation related depreciations in both periods. Now, a short look at the cash flow statement on page 11. So I'm also happy now to report that besides the positive development in terms of top line and profitability, also now our efforts on focusing on cash generation after 9 months show very encouraging positive results. You see here that our operating cash flow significantly above prior year, 102 million, so 80 million increase compared to last year. Lower increase in inventories, so lower increase in working capital that we've seen, and carefully focused on managing that. The cash flow from investing activities is on a relatively low level. The main effect in the prior year was related to the acquisition of a technology startup of the company with the name Ole. And then the cash flow from financing activities, this is mainly influenced by the development of the short-term deposits which we held at our group treasury account. And also, of course, the effect of the dividends that we've paid during the first 9 months. So, having said that, would like to hand back now to Lutz.
Yeah, thank you, Christian, for the background on the financials. I would like to move on with the highlight section now, and please turn to slide 13. As mentioned before, our performance in the Americas has improved steadily over the last 2 years. We implemented a multitude of measures which have caused the positive trend, and some of these measures are listed here on this slide. The positive development in the region, Americas, is mainly driven by the U.S. market. So let's look at the measures. In the field of ophthalmic devices, we took some strategic as well as operational steps. First of all, we have launched a number of important new ophthalmic diagnostic products, such as the aforementioned Claros 500 and the new high-end OCTs with OCTA and also swept source OCT technology. Furthermore, we focused on our digital products, which become more and more important. These measures have overall improved our position in the very competitive U.S. diagnostics market. Secondly, we worked on our customer service performance. Examples are improvements of our customer service hotline and improvements of our technical field service. We regularly track the customer satisfaction through a metric which we call Net Promoter Score or NPS. It indicates how likely an existing customer would recommend ZEISS to a colleague. We are seeing very strong improvements from our U.S. customers, which shows that the measures which we have taken are effective indeed. Yeah, thirdly, we improved our sales coverage in the ophthalmic diagnostics field. We hired more sales reps and improved the structure of the sales territories. The next field is refractive surgery, where we created awareness of the SMILE procedure in the refractive laser community through a strong presence on trade shows, but also through corresponding publications. As you know, the extension of the clinical indication range for SMILE is ongoing. We are hoping for FDA approval of SMILE astigmatism procedures in the next half year. Unfortunately, the timeline remains to be unpredictable to some extent. Yeah, so much about OPT in the US. Regarding our microsurgery SBU, the launch of our new product Kinevo 900 and also Extaro 300 was another important contributor to the US growth. Yeah, overall, as I said, we are quite satisfied with the development of our Americas performance over the past 2 years, as the growth is driven by both SBUs, microsurgery and OPT. Okay, so much about the Americas. That brings me to slide 14 and the management changes. As most of you have read in our press release from July 12th, there will be some management changes going forward. And please let me briefly comment on these changes. Until the end of the current business year, the management board will continue to consist of Christian Müller and myself. Effective October 1st, 2018, Christian will join the Zeiss Group as the new CFO. He will resign from the executive board of Carl Zeiss Meditec. Christian, would like to thank you for the excellent work over more than 8 years as CFO of Carl Zeiss Meditec AG. Working with you has really been a privilege and a true pleasure.
Thanks, Ludwin, and I can only reciprocate the thanks. And as this, of course, is now my last quarterly conference call, I would also on a personal note, like to share with you that for me the last 9 years have been an outstanding experience. I've very much enjoyed that time and had the chance to learn, of course, a lot during these 9 years, especially also due to the exchange with you, ladies and gentlemen, in the call today, and of course the whole financial community. And I would like to say thank you to you, to our analysts and shareholders, for the trust and the support of Carl Zeiss Meditec and myself. I'm really extremely grateful for the great and very trustful relationship that I could build up over the years, and it has been a real pleasure and privilege for me to work with you. And I'm also very happy that with Justus Wehmer, whom I also know for many years now, an excellent successor as the CFO has been found, and I would like to wish him and the whole team of Carl Zeiss Meditec then much success for the future.
Yeah, thank you very much, Christian. Justus Wehmer, who will succeed Christian as the CFO of Carl Zeiss Meditec, will introduce himself in just a moment. Let me say this. I have known Justus for many years, and I'm convinced that he is an excellent successor for Christian. He has tremendous experience, knows the Zeiss Group really well, and I'm also very much looking forward to working with him. Justus, please introduce yourself.
Yeah, Ludwin and Christian, thanks for the really kind words, and also to everybody else here in the call, a welcome and hello from my side. Really looking forward to get to know you in person over the next couple of months. Maybe just words on me. My professional background, no surprise, of course, is finance. I have studied business administration both in Germany and then did a postgraduate MBA at London Business School. I have worked quite a bit outside of Germany too, and almost my entire career in technology companies or in a high-tech environment, both partially a couple of years in South America and in North America. After various finance roles, also in stock-listed companies, I joined Zeiss in 2002. I held various divisional CFO functions within Zeiss, among them the industrial metrology group, as well as the semiconductor group, and lately the microscopy group. Besides my financial focus, however, I also had direct business responsibilities for operative business and strategy. And I can assure everybody that I definitely want to continue to do so also in my new role. What would I say is what I bring to Meditec. It's probably not only the network and intimacy with the Zeiss organization, but I think I have quite some experiences in cost and productivity management in dynamic high-tech environments, like I said, in the semiconductor business, for example. So I'd say I'd leave it here. And again, really looking forward to that new role, to working with the new board, and also looking forward to meet you, our shareholders, our analysts, as soon as possible, and getting to know each of you personally. So thank you, Ludwin. I leave it here.
Yeah, thank you very much, Justus. In addition to Justus' appointment, and as indicated on slide 14, there will be a third member of the management board as of October 1st, 2018. The third member will be Jan-Willem de Clare, who currently is the senior vice president of our surgical ophthalmology business. Jan-Willem started his career at General Electric and joined Zeiss in 2004. Initially, he led the Zeiss sales and service organization in Benelux and France, as well as our FCI instruments business. In 2010, he was then appointed head of surgical ophthalmology, which, as you know, has been highly successful over the years and has contributed nicely to the growth of Carl Zeiss Meditec. Jan-Willem has also been a key driver of the geographic expansion of our ophthalmic surgical business, including the 2014 acquisition of Aran Scientific. Part of Jan-Willem's responsibilities in his new role will be human resources and culture development. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to working with both Justus and Jan-Willem on the executive board on Carl Zeiss Meditec. Given that both have a long history at Zeiss and Jan-Willem also in Carl Zeiss Meditec, you can expect continuity and a smooth transition. I feel very confident about the new board moving forward, and I believe we will be a good team. Okay, so much about the management changes, which brings me to the last agenda item of today's presentation, the outlook, and please have a look at slide number 18. The growth drivers for the medical market in general and microsurgery and ophthalmology markets in particular remain intact. This is why I expect further profitable growth of our company also in the long term. The trends are aging of the population and growing affluence, increasing information access and awareness, growing patient load, growing expectations, and rising access to healthcare in the rapidly developing economies. Carl Zeiss Meditec will continue to follow the strategy which has been successful over the last year, and this is why our strategic priorities remain unchanged. We will further expand recurring revenue generation by driving the SMILE refractive laser procedure by extending the technology leadership in the field of cataract. Furthermore, we will strive to further lead the neuro-ENT market, and we will turn the new products which we have introduced over the last year into business growth. Another strategic focus is on digital solutions. Carl Zeiss Meditec has been a leader in digitalization of ophthalmology for some years, and we will continue to strengthen our portfolio in this field. For fiscal year 2017 and 18, we expect consolidated revenues between 1.25 and 1.3 billion euros. That corresponds to a growth between 5 and 9% versus prior year. And we expect an EBIT margin in the range of 14 to 16%. We also confirm our midterm guidance. We want to grow at least as fast as our markets grow, and we will remain to be in the EBIT margin range of 14 to 16%. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our prepared remarks, and we are now happy to take your questions.
We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask the question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Falko Friedrichs of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello and good morning. Couple questions from my end, please. And to you, Mr. Müller, I obviously wish you all the very best in your next career move, which sounds quite exciting. So on my questions, firstly, do you see anything in the market, such as competitors stepping up, that could lower the very strong demand you experience for your intraocular lenses at the moment? Then secondly, could you speak a bit more about the market opportunity for the Zeiss Visulas? And then thirdly, can you share how the new Claros device has performed over the first 9 months? And then maybe as a last quick question, your latest thinking on M&A would be appreciated.
Yeah, Mr. Friedrich, thank you for the question. So let me start with the IOL question. Well, first, maybe we look at the history, and Meditec has grown really nicely over the last couple of years in terms of IOLs. And our strategy has been to not only grow in the high end, which clearly economically is very important, so lenses like the Lisa 3, but also the newly introduced Lara. We also try to balance this with the standard lenses, which in the end was also the reason why some time ago we acquired Aaron Scientific in order to get new biomaterial. And as a result of this step, we have seen a really good growth also in the standard segment. Now, regarding your question, I would expect this growth to continue, and I do not see anything in the market that could fundamentally change the current situation. Certainly, competitive situation might change if there are new products or anything. But you know, the important thing is the overall market growth, and as I showed here in my last slide, the fundamental drivers like aging of the population results in a direct growing demand for IOLs. So I don't see anything that would fundamentally change the situation. Your second question was on Visulas and the market opportunity. Visulas, let me say it this way. Zeiss has been in the field of therapeutic lasers, as we call them, which are lasers mainly for the treatment of retinal diseases. We've been in that field for decades, really very long time. And with the new product that we introduced, we rejuvenated our product line, so it's more modern. It has more modern features, and that will strengthen our position in this market. However, that's a market of limited size. It's important in the sense that you know, it completes our offering, mainly in conjunction with the diagnostic products, which almost leads me to the Claros question. Zeiss has a very strong position now when it comes to complete solutions, for example, for the treatment of diabetic retinopathy. So we have the diagnostic devices like the Claros, and we have the treatment devices like the Visulas, and we have the, as a connecting element, Forum, as the software solution behind. And this is why Visulas is so important, although the market opportunity itself just on therapeutic lasers might be limited. Claros, that was your third question, has really developed extraordinarily well. And the growth I was talking about in the U.S. To a significant extent actually was driven by Claros. We've sold much more than we had planned. We see further growth of the demand also in the upcoming year. Claros is really unique in the market because it has a wide field, as we say. So you see a large area of the retina at once. But it's still a traditional concept in terms of the usage of the product. And that is what makes it different from competitive products, which have other downsides. So again, a very good development of the performance. You had a fourth question, which
M&A.
Yeah. In general, I would say. Regarding M&A, our strategy is unchanged. M&A remains to be a significant element of our growth strategy. But let me say this, just the fact that we have quite some cash on the bank does not drive us into risky and maybe strategically not relevant acquisitions. We continue to scan the market, look for opportunities which really fit our strategy. And that strategy is to be a complete provider for ophthalmology, to be a technology leader in the field of microsurgery. And acquisitions might also help us to gain market share in the one or the other area, including a geographic expansion. So these are the directions we are looking into. I can only assure you that this has very high priority for us. However, there's nothing I could comment on now. As you know, if there is a development, we are required to communicate anyway. Please be assured you will get the information if there is news in that field.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01. There are no further questions. I hand back to the speakers.
Well, that comes as a surprise. So I guess that's a consequence of summertime or of the good performance of the company. Ladies and gentlemen, anyhow, it is always a good opportunity to talk to you and present the results here after the quarters. Our next conference will be after the full fiscal year in December. We will not only have a phone conference, but also provide you the opportunity to meet us in person and also meet the new management. You will get information about that in due course. Would like to thank you for your interest and support of Carl Zeiss Meditec. Wish you a good time and talk to you next time in December. Thank you very much.
Thanks. And I would also again say thank you for the nice wishes here from Falco, and also thanks to all the others, and hope to stay in contact at the one or other occasion with you, and wishing you all the best. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect now.